listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really happy to have with me once again my friend, Eric Coffin. Eric is the editor of the HRA, that stands for Hard Rock Analyst, a family of publications responsible for the financial analysis side of HRA. Actually, Eric covers a lot more than just the financial side of the business these days. Since the unfortunate passing of his brother David many years ago, Eric has picked up the whole ball of wax and is doing a fantastic job. In fact, his background has been more on the financial side, but I got to tell you that he has a great grasp of geology, of mineralogy, of mine economics, and what is likely to work and what is not likely to work. And he really specializes and likes to look at companies that are really not that much followed, really the exploration stories. That's where the really big wealth is produced by the exploration guys when they're successful. Penny stocks can rise from pennies to dollars very quickly sometimes. And it's a very risky business, but it is one that can also be highly profitable in a bull market such as we're in now. So I'm really happy to have Eric with me today to talk about a couple of his favorites, and let's get an idea also what he thinks about the markets. Thanks for joining me, Eric.
Thanks for inviting me again, Jay.
Always good to have you with me, and it's just always good to have to hear your thoughts about some of the stocks that you're following, some of which I picked up on thanks to you for my letter. And I want to ask you about a few of those, three in particular I think we've talked about today. But before we get started, I'd like to ask you, what are your thoughts about the markets in general, the macroeconomic picture? It seems as though we might have some wind at our backs with a lower dollar now, with interest rates are rising, yes, but in real terms, perhaps not, and the dollar is getting weaker, which means with the metals denominated in dollars, they're rising, at least in U.S. dollars. So give us your big picture view of the markets, and are they good or bad or indifferent for the mining sector now?
Well, I mean, I think coming into this year with the Trump bump, if you will, and all that, there was this consensus in the market that never made sense to me, that the U.S. was going to outperform, Europe and Japan and China in terms of growth rates, and ergo the dollar would be really strong. And I took exception with that theory early this year and just said, look, I mean, most guys on Wall Street ignore everything that's more than a block from Wall Street. They don't really know what's going on in the rest of the world. Europe's actually putting up pretty decent numbers. Like, yeah, I mean, we all know it's got its problems, but the big economies in Europe, like Germany, are actually doing quite well, better than the U.S., actually. And I said, at some point, I think the market's going to cotton on to that differential. And Europe has continued to put up pretty good numbers. The U.S. numbers seem to be weakening. It feels like Q2 was a bit of a blip, although unfortunately a smaller blip than last year, but similar in the sense that I think it was just good comparisons gave you a good, quarterly GDP for last month and for last quarter, and I suspect that doesn't last. I think from what I'm seeing on spending numbers and things that came out today, like construction spending and personal consumption, I think we drop back again. And with that backdrop, even though we're not seeing any kind of inflation boost, the bond market's sort of off the Fed again. I think they're pricing in about a 40% chance of a December rate hike, no chance of a September one. And you combine the better growth rates elsewhere with that view, and you're seeing the dollar weaken quite a bit. I expected it to happen, but I'm surprised how fast and how far the dollar's fallen. It's pretty oversold now, but I think the big the big number short term, as always, is the non-farm payrolls, which the market probably pays too much attention to, but nonetheless, it's a big one this Friday. I think consensus is 180,000, if there's a big beat there, we might see a bounce in the dollar, but I'm not convinced it's going to last. If we don't see a beat there, the dollar could really get whacked pretty hard. I think we'd both agree gold hasn't moved as far as we would have liked it to with the move we've seen in the dollar, but we may see some catch-up if it's a poor payroll report. The other thing to watch, too, is something I watch every month, which is the hourly wage gains. Mm-hmm. If we don't see, say, 0.3 month over month, if it's only like 0.2 or 0.1, you know, again, I don't think even a beat on the payroll side is going to, you know, help the dollar for long if that number doesn't show up, because the Fed and Washington keep promising we're going to see these accelerations in wage gains. But as you and I both know, they just ain't happening.
Mm-mm. No, they're not happening. The consumer is broke, and the middle class is shrinking, and their lifestyle is being challenged. Certainly, our Michael Oliver that we have on this show frequently called for a bear in the dollar, and he's been just spot on. It's really gone very rapidly, more so, I think, than he thought as well. And certainly, the gold price also, he's seeing some strength now from his momentum work, Eric, so we may be... Maybe that'll be good news for those of us that are long in these stocks. Go ahead.
Well, and the other thing, too, is we've also seen base metals come around a lot for a while, which is, I mean, I'm a little bit surprised at how strong copper's been, but I'm not complaining, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected to see it be at almost 290 this fast, but that, you know, that's going to help, too. If we've got three or four metals going at the same time, that obviously gives us a way better backdrop.
Yeah, another part of his thesis is that we were in a real bull market for commodities in general. You know, they're spotty, they move in different, they don't all move together, of course, but that even oil, he's seeing more bullish now. So anyway, time will tell. I mean, these guys, Michael's work is on a technical basis, a momentum basis, and it's been just really, really good. And then you see things happening. You're talking about fundamentals that make total sense to me. I agree. I know you've looked at the Atlanta Fed's numbers and their projections for GDP and so forth. They've been spot on, and they've been down lower than the other Feds. So it certainly seems to make sense. Well, you know, I guess when we're in a bear market, almost none of the stuff that you and I look at seems to make much sense. But when we're having a bull market in commodities, the sun does start to shine for our stuff, and it certainly is for a number of the companies that you're following. And one that I like a lot that you follow is Almadex Minerals. Trades in Toronto under the symbol AMZ. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol AXDDF. 48 million shares, more or less outstanding, at 86 cents in U.S. money. Gives it a market cap of U.S. 41 million or so. Now, this is a prospect generator, but it is a father-son team that heads up this company. They've been very successful in the past, and they tend to look at one project or so. They single out, they have their own for exploration and to generate value through their own efforts to a greater extent than a lot of the prospect generators. And they have their own drill rigs, which means they can drill less expensively than going out and hiring somebody else. But you've done an update. Just yesterday, you put out an update on this company, Almadex Minerals. What are you seeing there for their prospects? I mean, these guys have had one success. It looks like they could be on to another one, eh?
Yeah, what they call the El Cobre property, mm-hmm. which is essentially right next to the city of Veracruz on the eastern seaboard of Mexico.
Mexico, yeah.
It's a very large property. It's got several known, I guess, porphyry centers, basically low grade copper gold that they or others have put a few holes into, and they gave it a big rethink recently and started drilling again last year, and they're currently drilling in two places. One is called the Norte Zone, and they've had a fair amount of success there. The last hole they drilled was actually the best hole that I believe that's been come off the property. It was about 75 meters of 3 grams with some copper, wow. But that was part of a 450-meter intercept. I actually met with Morgan and Dwayne. Morgan's the son, Dwayne's the dad, last week. And they're getting very positive about Norte. It's one of these things where it's put out some great holes, but it's hard to tell what the size is, but they seem to be a lot more confident that the high-grade part of this is hanging together. They're drilling now to kind of try to chase it to surface, and they'll probably try to chase it to depth as well, but it looks like Norte, which is just one of several things, could have, you know, a few hundred million tons of low-grade, but more importantly, you know, potentially tens of millions of tons of relatively high-grade gram-plus material. And that's what will get you started. They're also drilling, they're drilling an area called Encinal, which had a bunch of historicals. They were kind of, you know, meh, you know, 0.2, 0.3 copper. But they've seen some stuff on surface which is similar to the high-grade stuff at Norte, so they're putting some holes in there. But for me, the area that really looks interesting is something called the Rio Trembrillo, which is about 3 kilometers south of Norte. They just found a large outcrop area there a couple months ago that they didn't even know the outcrop existed. One of their new hires went wandering around and found it, and it's a fairly large outcrop area where they're getting sort of gram type numbers and gold. This area, this part of the world, you won't get copper on surface because it basically just leaches away. But pretty long stretches in a number of trenches where they're getting gram plus numbers, and they're just finishing building pads there now. There should be a drill on it. It might be there now, but if it isn't, it'll be there in a few days. And I think that's got really high potential. It looks to me like Almadex can actually, I think they'll pull together a fairly strong resource, in fact, probably two or three on this property. And in addition to that, they own a large number of other projects, as you said.
Yeah.
They told me they're going to get a lot more active and looking for partners because they just said, look, we think El Cobre is working out, and we just can't be in, you can't be in two places at once. So we've got to get some other guys to work on some of these other projects. And the other thing they own, because as you mentioned, they are sort of serially successful. They found 3 or 4 deposits. Almadex owns royalties on all of those deposits.
Yeah.
One of them is right next door, and it was another one of their discoveries right next door to El Cobre called Caballo Blanco. That's supposed to go into production early next year. They're pushing through to feasibility with their other company on Ixtaca, which is a sort of a silver gold, silver rich deposit. That one, I also think that one probably goes in production. So, and I don't think they really get any value for the royalties. If it was, if they called themselves Almadex Royalties, they'd probably get $20 million in market cap for the royalties. Yeah. And I think everybody ignores them.
Yeah, good point. And they're very frugal. You know, they're very cost-conscious operators,
yeah, they're
for
all,
sure.
They're putting money in the ground. And these guys are, I mean, they're explorers. And it's funny, I went to this lunch that they hosted at the Sprott conference, and a bunch of guys came up to me after, and they were going, like, these guys are talking about going to production with this Ixtaca thing, but they seem like exploration guys. And I was like, look, I mean, that's the game. That's what you have to do. When you're at this point of development, you got to act like you're going to go into production. I mean, that's how you play the game. But I said, you know, these guys are explorers. They don't want to spend 20 years worrying about reagent levels in the mill. They want to get a stack to the point where somebody takes it out, and then they're just going to go right back to focusing even harder on the exploration projects in Almadex.
Yeah, they can't sit back. They can't sit back and just say, here we are, take us. They've got to move it forward as far as they can themselves. And yeah,
that's how the game's played, I mean.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's a really exciting one. Another one that's exciting today is San Marco Resources. Trades Toronto SMN OT in the U.S. You can buy it, as I have, under the symbol SMREF. 56 million shares, more or less, today. It's up, I saw earlier today, up 21% to 23 cents. Market cap of around 13 million Canadian dollars. I'm talking Canadian here. Well, that'd be about 10 million in U.S. money, I guess. Now, this is another prospect generator. At least that's the way I look at it. I think that's the way they see themselves, Eric. But it's also one that seems that they seem to be looking at adding value by taking a pet project a little further along themselves. And they seem to be having some success with something called Chunibus. Is that right?
Yeah, they've got, I'd say they sort of have two pet projects, Chunibus and 1068, and these two projects are only about 7 kilometers apart. They're both in Sonora, that's their area of focus in northwest Mexico. Chunibus, they went in to drill, you know, higher grade in shears. That was sort of acknowledged as being the model when they started working on this property that they picked up about a year and a half ago. And there are high grades there. There are apparently still local Gamperinos working some of these shears. So they went in and they did some drilling. And once they got really the first hole into it, they were looking at core, and they were the first guys to drill core on the property, which is important because core allows you to see textures and stuff you really can't see that well with RC.
Mm-hmm.
And when they looked at the core, they were like, wait a minute, this is not the rock type everybody was talking about. This is totally different stuff. As it turned out, what they appear to have is what's called an intrusion-related model rather than a shear-hosted model.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that's important at this stage isn't so much grade. I mean, the first couple of holes they put out were kind of like okay grades. It's not really about the grade at this point. It's about the scale. This system looks extremely large. I had a long conversation with the CEO yesterday, and he was just about to jump on a conference call with a couple of guys from South America that I believe they're hiring that are specialists in this deposit model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of what I like about this is a very conservative, frugal, level-headed group of professional guys running this company, and they're very pumped about this.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are going to hit this thing hard. And the reason why they're excited is this type of deposit, when you find one, they do tend to be large. I gave a few examples in the recent write-up I gave, and I think the smallest one of those examples is 4 million ounces, and they run up to about 20.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to be big, but they take work to figure out. The other project that's to the north of it, the 1068, that one's just kind of a straight-up porphyry target. I'm eagerly anticipating some sampling from there. They just did some trenching and got about 200 meters exposed in a road cut, and part of the issue they've had with this property all along is there's very little exposure to the porphyry. There's a huge exposure of what's called lithocap, which is the alteration that sits on top of a porphyry system, which usually doesn't have much of anything in it. But just the size of that lithocap, they know it's a big system. So they went in with a cap just a couple of weeks ago, and they did manage to create some exposure with that. And they've sampled it. And I think if they can come back with, you know, it doesn't have to be crazy grades, but just to show some continuity, if they can come back with, you know, 100 meters of 0.3, 0.4 copper and half a gram of gold, something like that, I think they'll get a lot more interest. I know that there's several majors interested in that project. And I think they'll decide once they have these trench numbers whether they, you know, do they bend it or do they drill it? I mean, it'll depend on what kind of deal they get offered. But my gut feel is these guys would really like to stick a couple holes in this because they know the first few holes in a porphyry, that's where the real value generation is. If you hit the impact can be big.
Right, for sure. Well, Eric, we've got 3 minutes left, and there's another company to talk about. And I want to also mention the Metals Investor Forum coming up. And you can sign up for that at my website. Go there right now, and as soon as the show is over anyway, and sign up for that, just name and email. So, Eric, one more here, Vendetta Mining, a zinc play in Australia. You got about 3 minutes at most to talk about that. What can you tell us about that one?
Well, it's sitting at about 29 cents. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, they came out with an updated resource. That resource was actually a huge improvement. The market has just kind of traded sideways, hasn't really appreciated it. What they did is they took the resource up to about 12 million tons, but 9 million of those are open pit tons, which means low capex, high net on these things. They're still drilling. They're probably a third of the way through their next drill program right now. They put up some more holes a few days ago. Again, good holes that probably increase the grade in this open pit tonnage, maybe make it a little bit bigger. I talked to their CEO yesterday too, and things are going well with the deeper drilling. I'm expecting to see good drill holes for the next, you know, 3 or 4 months out of this thing, then another resource estimate. I think they can get to 15 million tons, and I think that's the magic number. I think when they get to that size, one is big enough to just be a standalone producer. And like Almaden, they'll probably, you know, make all the noises about going into production. But there's two or three mines around it that are getting short on ore in Queensland and Australia. And I said a couple of months ago, and my opinion hasn't changed, that I don't think this company's around in a year. With zinc prices doing what they're doing and the economics being so strong with this project because of its location, I think these guys get taken out.
All right, Eric, his market cap is around Canadian 31 million today. Two, three, four times that, possibly? What do you think?
I would think if they get it to 15 million tons, with similar grades. I mean, I did a back of the envelope. You know, I know you're not supposed to quote these numbers, but I did a back of the envelope, and this is my number, people, not their number.
Yeah.
This
right.
is back of the envelope after a bottle of wine, NPV number on this thing based on the last resource, and I was getting up around 350, 400 million. I mean,
whoa.
The numbers are quite strong on this thing.
Whoa, wow. Well, again,
people realize.
Again, with the caveat that those are back of the envelope after a bottle of wine, folks, but nonetheless, Eric is a serious analyst, and wine or no wine, and so consider it. Don't take it as gospel, but you heard what Eric said, and it might be worth paying some attention. Thank you so much for being with us. Eric, 30 seconds, the Metals Investor Forum, it's September 15th. Is it looking pretty good? You got a lot of companies there. It's a one-day event this time, I believe.
Yeah, so we can only invite about 15. I think we've got 6 or 7, but I haven't heard from Gwen. Gwen was off on field trips, and
yeah, she'll bring
back
a bunch.
Yeah, she'll just sort of dump a pile on the desk. We'll be out of company spaces fairly quickly. We're also getting pretty high RSVPs already. We're up to around 400. So
all right, well, folks,
we have a link. But
yeah.
you should tell people,
yeah.
like, if you guys want RSVP, don't wait too long to do it.
Don't wait. JTaylorMedia.com, JTaylorMedia.com. Go there. Click on the Metals Investor Forum banner. Sign up right away if you want to go, because otherwise you'll be shut out. That's what happens. These are very popular conferences. They don't cost you anything, but you got to sign up for it. Thanks so much, Eric, for being with us. Folks, next week I'm going to have Peter Talman of Klondike Gold, Michael Oliver will be back, and also Dan Oliver. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.